Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I don't know if I can even start the show today. It's an outrage behind the scenes here. The key sound for the Dom Giordano program, the outfits that we
key
go
sound.
To.
This key guy sound. Every day sends me 30-plus
there
kit clips.
Not.
And the only clip I couldn't grab today is the key sound.
That
come
is
on,
the
Dom.
Key sound.
No, I'm not playing any clips for you today.
Okay, then. I may have to put Joe on this case. That's what I'm saying. When it gets really tough, we may have to bring Joe in or DJ at home. Somebody out there. I need this woman's voice. We're looking for it, but you've seen this woman. Welcome to the Dom Giordano program. Maggie Haberman. I'm not sure if she's, I guess she's still New York Times, constantly on CNN. The big vote yesterday on the War Powers Resolution hit Trump where it hurts. This guy, Matt Gaetz, voted in favor of the War Powers Resolution. Then he came on with Tucker and others and said, oh, President Trump would have wanted him to do that. No, President Trump did not want him to do that. Now, I told you about this guy before. He is a grandstander. He did some good things in the impeachment inquiry, but he did this to grandstand. There's no way anybody should be voting in this matter to limit presidents, particularly in the world that we live in today, with terrorism being the number one thing that we're trying to prevent, stop, and cut off of the pass. This is not intellectually, and I think this guy's a lightweight, this is not intellectually viable to be voting yesterday. Now, look, I love Rand Paul, Mike Lee. I know a lot of you do, too. Who is the other one that was involved in this? But Mark Levin put it best, and I wanted to talk about this a little bit. On a lot of things, I think a lot of talk radio listeners are libertarian with a small L. The problem with the Libertarian Party and the problem, the tension that's here, is that the purity of this stuff often goes too far. That drives somebody like Rand, now Mike Lee, I don't know about Gaetz, to be voting on things that would put us at risk. I mean, some of the things the Libertarian Party, we had them over the years. I mean, people wanted an alternative to the two-party system. But I think this shows the folly of it here. So Mark Levin yesterday, I was listening to him, talked about the fact that the Constitution is not a libertarian document and that it's clear, and it's clear to me, way back to 1973 when they started with this war powers thing, that people have realized that you have to give the president leeway to take action. Can you get it? I'm going to play you the clip, the money shot of Trump last night. It's not just they would blab to the media. It's not just that it would leak out and we'd have no shot at taking out Soleimani. It's not just that. It's just how unwieldy these people are and how self-important they are, like Madeleine Dean and people like that. They really think they're running the country in some way, shape, or form. And they're always talking about the power of Congress. We get that, the power of the spending, starting there. We get all that. But we're not going to be making the look at 23 days now. Is it 23? I think it's the 23rd day since they passed the articles of impeachment against the president. And Nancy Pelosi hasn't sashayed over to Mitch McConnell to hand them in. Ha! Imagine just how unwieldy it would be to have them making decisions about whether to hit Soleimani or not, which they would never do. Here's Trump last night, though, making a broader case at the rally that, revealing Soleimani, that's exactly what they would do. 7A.
No, but think seriously. So they want me. So, you know, these are split-second decisions. You have to make a decision. So they don't want me to make that decision. They want me to call up, maybe go over there. Let me go over to Congress. Or come on over to the White House. Let's talk about it. When can you make it? Well, I won't be able to make it today, sir. How about, let's say, in a couple of days? Oh, sure. Come on over. Now, we got a call. We heard where he was. We knew the way he was getting there. And we had to make a decision. We didn't have time to call up Nancy, who was not operating with a full deck.
All right, that's a little bit of the rally last night. And he also claimed they would leak this to the press. It's the time, it's the unwieldy, and they are leakers and the agenda and all that. There's no way we would ever take out someone like this because they don't want to act on that. Very few of them, none of them that I could see right now, would order the hit on Soleimani. The other story that's out there today, of course, the Associated Press. I mean, other than the New York Times, well, maybe more than the New York Times, this used to be seen as the publication of record, right? The Associated Press, they have the broadest reach. Article after article, essentially saying that we're the ones that are responsible for the shoot down of that Ukrainian plane and the number of people from Canada who were killed in that. Yeah, the Iranians never would have done this if we hadn't started all this off by killing Soleimani. So here's everything that happens coming out of this now. Will be our bill. Another reason why you don't kill Soleimani. So we can't make the case. With Soleimani dead, how many lives will be spared? How much going forward for any number of reasons? Now, the media won't engage in that. That's speculation. But they will speculate that Trump, by these actions, had those Canadians and hundreds of other people dead. Not the Iranians. It's on us. Now, the broader thing here with progressives, with a lot of Democrats, many, many of them, and it goes beyond Trump. They don't like the fact that the United States is this powerful. Who are we? I think it would even come down to the nuclear weapon. If we can have nuclear weapons, why can't the Iranians? Maybe we should give up ours if they have to give up theirs. And I wonder if you agree with that. That's how far it goes in the minds and hearts of most of these Democrats, even the local ones, Madeline Dean and the others. The United States is too powerful. Why should one country be this powerful? And because we're this powerful, we end up doing things that we have no right to do. So I don't know if I would put it exactly the way that some have. They're completely lacking in patriotism. They want Soleimani to continue. That's an awful charge. Some of them, yeah. Some of them for political purposes. Bernie Sanders has been honest about it. He never would take him out in any way, shape, or form. I'm sitting here at the end of the week with you, still amazed at how many people are essentially saying, and I just want them to say it out loud, this guy was too big to kill. They're dressing it up in all kinds of things. Now they're saying if we would take out the Supreme Leader, would we have to get permission? My answer would be no. If we have the opportunity to take that guy out, we ought to take him out. This is a different situation. This is a rogue state. This is just sheer terrorism and people that are killing Americans. That's the line. That's the Trump doctrine. You harm or attack Americans, or if it's believed, it's imminent that you're going to do that, then we're going to stop it. That's the Trump doctrine. But 855-839-1210, you get in with Dom. Do you believe that we are too powerful? I bet there are people listening right now that think, yeah, I'm tired of this. Why should you have a nation like this, this powerful? That has to be bad. All right, side question of the day. I happen to see a series, and you guys probably have no memory of this, and it was pretty hot at the time, particularly here in Philadelphia, 30-something. As I remember it, two guys that had an ad agency in suburban Philadelphia. I don't know if they were supposed to be in Ardmore. It was vaguely the main line. It was all the rage. So 30-something is coming back. They're bringing it back. I don't know if there's much of a twist on this. I know that Save the Bell is coming back. That was a hot teenage thing, Mario Lopez. And Save the Bell is going to have a transgender character. That's the touch there. And I saw some story today that Hollywood put out 592 TV shows last year at one point or another. That's incredible. So we're back to the reboot. What show would you like to see come back? Now, my guideline on this is that if the show were great, as much as I'd like to see Breaking Bad some more, I watched a movie. It felt almost sacrilegious, the Camino movie. It is, you know, my mind a treasure. I can go back. I can rewatch it. But once it's played out, I worry, or once it's revived, they mess it up. The Sopranos debuted today. What is it? Today be the 21st anniversary of the debut of The Sopranos. I don't think you can bring it back. You know, you mess it up if you do. But what TV show do you think still has run? You'd love to see it back with new episodes. 30-something coming back and Save the Bell. Just two of them. This 30-something, because it's in the Philadelphia area, though, that was all the rage. I don't know if it went on for like 5 or 6 years. And it went. Now, the claim is that it inspired This Is Us, which is a really good show. So it was on 1987 to 1991. And I don't know if Lower Merion, the people were from Lower Merion. That's why they said it in the Philadelphia area. It racked up more than a dozen Emmy Awards out of a total of 40 nominations. I never was enamored with it. I've seen it. You know, it was okay. But it was incredible. All right, 855-839-1210. You got to grab a line. AT&T and Verizon Wireless. You just push pound 1210. So the takeaway at the end of the week, and I'm going to tell you coming up about Luzerne County, where Trump won big and is a real bellwether of Pennsylvania. Big story out there today of a focus group. How did they process what President Trump did in all this? Now, will this have legs? Will this play into the election? Yeah, it could, because, you know, there's any number of developments in the Middle East that will play into it. So let's put aside, and it's hard to do that given the life and death stakes. But if you're looking at this politically, this is a winner for Trump. It's a loser because Democrats have no policy. And I'll tell you, a swing group in Luzerne County of people that voted for Obama, then voted for Trump, what they enunciate, I think, bears me out about how they feel about what Trump did here, what it says about Commander-in-Chief versus the Democrat contenders. Boy, thank God that Nancy Pelosi is on duty. This will be cut 8. Nancy Pelosi telling us yesterday this was on C-SPAN. You know, the other night she was criticized for being at that opening of a restaurant and drinking and all, and tell Mike Pence to call me back when I'm ready. I'll call him back. Here's what she said, though, about why she can't attend the playoff game, her San Francisco team, this weekend. Why is that, Nancy?
Thank you all very much.
Are you going to the Niners game?
It would be my intention to go. I went to one game in San Francisco. We watched all together the second game in Seattle. I have, unfortunately, responsibilities to save our country this weekend, so I am on my Democratic wearing that hat of a political leader this weekend, so my family will enjoy our season tickets at the 49er game.
Oh, thank God. Can you imagine being in the booth with Nancy Pelosi watching the Niners there?
Answering all the hard questions.
Answer, yes. And to hear, what was all the coughing with these people? But on top of that, she has to save our country from peril. Well, it's from the peril of Trump. Hey, Nancy, you could just walk over now and then go see the game. Just give Mitch the articles of impeachment, then be done with it. All right, so 855-839-1210. I wonder how many people go, wait a minute, Dom, you guys in talk radio. There's a love fest with Rand Paul, Tulsi Gabbard, Mike Lee, and the Gates guy. Now, I've told you about the Gates guy before. A lot of you love some of it's grandstanding with this guy. I'm much more of a Jim Jordan when we get into it. But those are some of the people that would vote for this War Powers Act to restrain presidents. So it's a simple question. We have one right in front of us. Do we want to restrain a president from taking out someone like Soleimani? We don't have to talk about abstract stuff. We have it right in front of us. Is that what we should be doing? Now, I mentioned big story out there today. People are really paying attention to Pennsylvania, particularly Luzerne County. That's a place where it's a bellwether. And in Luzerne County, President Trump won going away the last time, shocking people. And any number, think Wilkes-Barre, places like that, right? Any number of people there were looking at people that voted previously, if they did, for President Obama, then they voted for Trump the last time around. So there was a big focus group, and these people said overwhelmingly exactly what I think the Trump doctrine is. They said that, now I don't know if this is accurate to them, national security issues are even more important than the economy. I don't know how many people are going to say that. But then they said what the dilemma is that people face that Trump delivers on. And that is, they like that he took, quote, the bull by the horns. He didn't say business as usual. He got in there and took this guy out. But they also say, here's the dilemma, they don't want endless wars. They don't want them. So is this the genius of Trump or has he been lucky? In other words, Trump is going in there using force, Syria, remember the bombing there? He's used it in several instances. He's threatened it in others. And yet, we're not in any war. We're not in any ground war, and we're not going to get in it. He's not going to do that. So he's illustrating, if done correctly, there are all sorts of options between appeasement, which these voters don't want, and a ground war, which they also don't want. And he tapped into this, just how tired out of this, how much Americans are tired of these endless wars, no finish to them, the elites seeing this carnage, the people in Washington, and yet we never seem to have a clear win that it was worth it. People not thinking they're worth it, the way they've been conducted and what the outcome is. And I wonder if that summarizes where you are. That's the sense I got. And this was the secret sauce, one of the things that distinguished Trump from other Republicans way ahead of the curve. And what he did here, he took out a big player here. And I don't see any indication that Iran is just biding its time for some huge attack where it can be said, well, now we have to go to war. He's not going to go to war. It's not going to be like that. And Democrats keep on saying, well, he's not going to solve this in the Middle East either. I'm of the opinion, I don't know who solves anything there anyhow. All you can do is keep them off us as much as possible. Isn't that the truth? In other words, are you really going to see peace in your lifetime between the Palestinians and Israel? Stuff like that. Jared Kushner is going to go there and do that. There's no way. You got to face facts. Well, that's pretty cynical. No, it's reality. You have a side who is hell-bent on the history of this nonsense with them. Iran, in our interest, don't come together. That doesn't mean we have to be at war with them. It means we have to contain them. And that's what I think the Trump doctrine does. And anybody that says, well, someday we're going to have peace in the Middle East. Based on what? How do you make peace with the Palestinians, with Hezbollah, with the Iranians? How do you make peace? The thing you do is you try to make us energy independent. You try to use American power when necessary without American lives being lost. And that's exactly what we've done. This is a win-win-win. It's textbook. All right, now here, thanks, Dan, for getting this. Here is Maggie Haberman. This is the New York Times woman on CNN talking about the vote of this guy, Matt Gaetz. Now, you all know who he is, the guy from Florida, big Trump supporter. Yet yesterday, he says we need to rein in presidents. We need to curtail their war powers. Well, that would mean something here is suspect to him. I love to ask this guy rather than the bubble he's in, what is it that is suspect here that Trump did? What is it? Spill it out. What is it that he did here that is questionable in any way? Here's what Haberman says, though, this illustrates.
There's questions about how legally binding this is, even once it goes to the Senate and even if it passes. But he does not want it highlighted that he is taking an act that could be seen as continuing these forever wars. That speech from Matt Gaetz, the Republican who supports the president, on the floor yesterday was very, very important. This is a president who ran against the Iraq war, ran, as somebody who was going to get us out of the Middle East, who opposed George W. Bush's use of intelligence. And those are some of the same questions being raised about his administration right
now. Interesting. So that speech hit him where it hurts. Another thing that you've suggested, Maggie, and I want to get more explanation here, is that advisors say it's not clear that the president understands that the fallout here will take weeks to fully understand.
He's been very focused on the current time frame, which is the other night they were in the Situation Room first in the afternoon for a few hours, and then in the evening as there were these missile attacks, he was very relieved to see that there were no casualties. They all were very relieved, obviously, that there were no casualties. He saw it, according to multiple people, as a chance for a reset. I can go in, I'm going to have this off-ramp where I'm not having heightened, escalated tensions. And yes, I will be tough if need be, but he was not speaking, according to multiple people, in the long term of what this might mean as Iran starts to sort itself out post-Soleimani, how they will react to the U.S., whether there will need to be sanctions. It's going to take a very long time to know whether this event is over. And there was a desire to just see this as sort of a mission accomplished. And it's not clear to people close to him whether he recognizes that there's a long arc to go here.
Always with that. Always when they can't beat you in the time frames we're talking about here, they have to say, oh boy, Trump is going to be down the road here. Now, I don't think you should ever say mission accomplished because these things are fluid. Remember that with George W. Bush. Damn, that's pretty good. Eagle eye here that Maggie Haberman is among the names in the Covington lawsuit. Remember the kids, the Covington kids? CNN settled the other day. She and a number of, quote, journalists may have to settle, too, with Nick Offerman and the Covington kids.
Yeah. Also, Elizabeth Warren is named.
Elizabeth Warren.
Yep. So it's Elizabeth Warren, Anna Navarro, Maggie Haberman, writer Sean King, Democratic New Mexico Rep. Deb Haaland, political consultant Matthew Dowd, comedian Kathy Griffin, ABC analyst Matthew Dowd. I'm sorry, I said that already. CNN commentator Reza Aslan. Princeton professor Kevin Cruz, and editor of Mother Jones, Clara Jeffrey, and author Jody Jacobson.
A rogue's gallery, to put it mildly. Nice reminder there on Haberman. So to Haberman's point, is that what the danger is here? Now, this guy Gaetz, here's my view. I'm not going to pull, but he's outed himself. He's outed himself as a grandstander here, some kind of game that he's playing. I don't think this is a principled vote, an intelligent vote. I don't see it. What is it here that we have to restrain with the president that has happened with Soleimani? All righty, 855-839-1210, you get a line. AT&T and Verizon Wireless, you just push #1210 and we're coming to you. At the end of your call, too, hit us. What show would you like to see come back? At Dom Show 1210, any action on Twitter, Dan?
Good amount of action already, Dom. So we have Columbo, but that sadly couldn't be possible without the man Peter Falk.
Right.
Well, it could be possible. It'd be horrible, similar to Miami Vice, their reboot. Frasier, As Long as Niles and Daphne Are in It. The original Law and Order. Ugh.
Absolutely.
Order.
We only have like five of them.
The Fugitive, Seinfeld, Kolchak, The Night Stalker, which I've never heard of.
Oh, yeah.
That was a good show.
Yeah.
And Family Ties.
Family Ties, that's an interesting one. All right. Can you reboot these? See, I think when you reboot a show, you're going to see a big split of people that just can't get enough, and others who say you're ruining Picasso.
Wasn't Michael J. Fox a kid from Family Ties?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So it's been a while. Yes.
Yeah.
So Breaking Bad, as much as I love it, when they did the film, I got my fill. I love it. I watch it in reruns. I think if you're a fan, here's my philosophy. If you're a fan, you just continue to watch it. You don't say, bring it back. You can't bring The Office back, for example. Steve Carell, once he left, they were just biding time. All right, at the end of your call, hit us with a show that you'd like to see return. Number of reboots coming our way. And are these guys right? If you consider yourself more of a libertarian bent, They're saying, hey, be consistent. If we're going to call out others for the way they acted, like President Obama exceeding his authority, what about Trump? How did he exceed his authority? The only mistake I think that was made this week, and I know they have their reasons for it, is trying to prove that Soleimani was imminent of what he was going to do to us. I would just say, look, this guy, every second that he's awake, American lives are at risk based upon his past history. We can't apprehend him for them. You can't. We actually had a caller say, well, why didn't they imprison him? Can you imagine? Give him his Miranda rights in the airport. You got to kill him when you have the chance. It's just that simple. And Trump did it. I think that's something that the Trump doctrine was effective this week. I have been on the edge of my seat last night hollering to stop Ken Jennings. I don't know what it is that sets me off with Jeopardy. We gave you the numbers. Either of you guys know the Wednesday night numbers for Jeopardy. It has been stunning how many people have been watching. And last night, it was a massacre. You know, you saw Jennings, once he gets rolling, how tough he is to beat. But it is amazing how people are, I don't know, maybe it's sentimental due to the illness of Alex Trebek. But it's been, I don't know too many other things that you could do this with. Out of all those game shows, all the things that are out there. And this one is on a really high level. They were very tough last night. Jeopardy is a winner. What does it say about America? That's what I'd like to know. All right, it led again, 14.82 million viewers. Wow. So if one of the other two win tonight, not Ken Jennings, then we get more next week. It is kind of exhausting when they do a whole hour show. I don't know if they did it at once. I'm looking at the change of clothes and all. It looked like they did an hour in one sitting. It is amazing what it takes to do this. What does it say about America, though? I think it says something good. That people are tuned into this. That's a lot of people. With all the choices that are out there, it's a huge number of people. Our own Joe Sebelia tried to answer that question in his own inimitable way. Here's his take, his latest, on Jeopardy.
If you think you've seen Jeopardy's greatest of all time, think again. Three Democratic candidates in a winner-take-all Jeopardy tournament. These nomads are best known for their barbaric nature. Yes, Senator Bernie Sanders.
What are billionaires?
Ooh, sorry. We were looking for Huns. A Native American tribe brought turkey, corn, and rice to this November's celebration. Yes, Senator Elizabeth Warren.
What is family reunion?
Sorry, that would be Thanksgiving. This creature enjoys when people pet their hair. Yes, former Vice President Joe Biden.
Biden is a rabid dog.
Sorry, but all answers must be in the form of a question. Otherwise, you'd be correct. This is lunacy.
All right, very good, Joe.
Oh, thank you.
This one was that good. I hadn't heard it. I took Dan's word for it. It was top-notch.
Oh, good. I was afraid you were going to say it wasn't so good.
I mean, wouldn't we love to see these people on stage playing Jeopardy? I could just see that Bernie Sanders, you know, arguing
this should be the
rules.
Next debate.
Yes.
What are billionaires?
let's make – well, they hated that, if you remember. Raise your hand if you're for Medicare for All. They don't like it. They don't like to have to raise their hand and say yes or no to anything. And you can imagine how embarrassing it would be. Biden might say anything to it. I mean, it just I can't imagine Biden getting a single question right. It would Cory Booker, same kind of thing. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
So it says something good about America that Jeopardy, I think, is doing this well. And I'm not sure who could replace Alex Trebek if it comes to that. But it is something that just has hit a nerve here, the continuance of it, and now seeing these great champions. Wow. I don't know. The rate of people playing at home, though, if you were honest, if you got 1 out of 10 right last night, you know, in a reasonable time, the time that they're doing it, that's amazing. It's almost overwhelming what you have to do. The background of these guys and the preparation for this is incredible. Dan?
We don't have a Twitter poll today, so I'm going to send it out there at DomShow1210 on Twitter. I'm just genuinely curious, polling our listeners individually, just a simple question. Are you watching Jeopardy? Yes or no?
Yes.
Now, at Dom Show 1210 on
Twitter. 14.82 million viewers is a lot, but still, out of all the choices and all that's out there, I haven't heard anybody say anything negative about it. I mean, how could you be negative about it? But I think it's more than just Trebek. I think it's more than just some fluke. I think it says something good that Americans do value knowledge, intelligence, competition, and that's why they watch it. They like to challenge themselves against it. There's something good about it versus those who want you to believe that the country are just a bunch of dolts, and that's why they elected Trump. That's all that it matters. All right, 855-839-1210, AT&T, and Verizon Wireless. You just push pound 1210. Dan found this gem today. This will be 12B. Don Lemon, who I know used to be over at NBC 10. Remember we told you that? Now, this guy is Mr. Conspiracy Theorist, some of the most awkward, cringeworthy, and funny to me is when Cuomo and D. Lemon, Don Lemon, do the crossover. It's awkward, it's painful, but it gives us some nuggets. So last night, listen to Don Lemon talk about Trump and Trump voters and all the conspiracy theories. Now remember, this guy is the guy that had the Malaysia airline.
What if it was hijacking or terrorism or mechanical failure or pilot error? But what if it was something fully that we don't really understand? A lot of people have been asking about that, about black holes and on and on and on and all of these conspiracy theories. That's what people are saying. I know it's preposterous, but is it preposterous, you think, Mary?
All right, remember him? He was the point guy on the Malaysian airline. Here's what he said last night about Trump in the crossover.
I'm telling you, I've been in this business my entire life. But when you have a good answer, you give it, Don.
For me, it's the hypocrisy. It's the hypocrisy. You talk so much, you know what, about... I'm back from vacation for a couple of days. I didn't almost say a bad word this time. You talk so much, you know what, about Barack Obama and the former. You talk so much, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit more in just a couple of minutes. And then you use the Secret Service. You golf more than he did. You spend more money than he did. I'm also going to talk about all these conspiracy theories that you hear from the president at these rallies and that you hear from all of these panelists and all of these hosts on Fox News, Uranium One and all that. And they turn out to be nothing. The emails, it turned out to be nothing. And they go on with another conspiracy theory and their audience just lap it up. They just eat it up. And then it turns out to be nothing. And then they just move on. They don't apologize. They don't say, I'm sorry, screwed up or whatever. There's no repercussion. Nothing.
This is a smile of a man who knows he was just made party to yet another Don Lemon meme with whatever that noise and gesture was that you just made.
It is the truth. Don, I can only tell the truth. And that is my truth. And listen, let him have it.
You're very truthy.
Boy, you talk about it. Just the worst of the worst, the duo coming in. The two of them ought to do the show together. Imagine an hour of it with Chris Matthews maybe as the major player.
I when I heard that this morning, Dom,
yes.
Wow, I just called you Don.
And yet in the context the dark side. Of Don Lemon, too.
When I heard that this morning, I had to call you into the studio because
yes.
I go the chutzpah on this guy to say they peddle conspiracy theory after conspiracy theory, never apologize and just move on to the next one. What was the Russia hoax? What was the Mueller report?
Particularly around Trump. I mean, it is just a constant, constant around-the-clock type of thing, and it's not working.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.